This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Everybody, I'm Alan Ellis, and this is the Outdoorsman Show. And here this morning with
Robin, me.
Hi, Robin.
Hi.
Glad you're with us this morning.
I'm wide awake and ready to go.
I wish I were.
I know.
It's been a long week. Good morning, Chris. Chris Klaproth, our producer.
Good morning.
How you doing this morning, buddy?
I'm fine, sir. How you do? How are you two
well.
Doing?
What's that?
Doing great.
Oh, Robin, yeah.
Yeah, remember me?
Yeah, I remember.
Thanks.
I've been gone for a couple days. So it's been muzzleloader season, and it's still muzzleloader season, early muzzleloader season for deer, whitetail and sika deer. It's kind of interesting when the press release came out the other day, the department had two different start dates, one for whitetails and one for sika deer. They had last year's dates in for sika deer, the 18th, 19th, and 20th, and the current date for whitetails. It was rather amusing to read, so not sure how many people picked up on it, but we got in touch with DNR, and we got it fixed, and they reissued it, corrected press release. So I was happy to do my part to unconfuse the hunters out there who thought that may have thought that sika deer season opened a day late. Of course, the hunters knew better. So I did participate this week. Thursday morning found me searching for my stand up in Cecil County. There's a little stand up there that's that I've hunted. I haven't hunted it for probably 3 years, but it's tucked away in the laurel, and it's a little difficult to get to, depending on how you go into it. And so, in the dark, I just could not find the markers on the trees. I was only 20 yards from one of the markers, but I couldn't find it. If I'd have found the marker, I could have found the next marker and the next marker and the next marker and work my way down into the stand. So, yeah. Come twilight in the the opening 30 minutes before legal sunrise, I wasn't in a stand. So I figured out, well, if I just go to another stand here on the property, I'll just sit for a little while and I'm trying to, you know, kind of conserve that stand a little bit for one of the younger guys that doesn't have much of an opportunity. So I went down and sat there for a while and had two does. I played with two does for a couple hours. They came in and they disappeared, and then they walked right into 25 yards. And they, you know, I'm not taking a doe at this point. Sparky doesn't eat much whitetail, so we don't eat much whitetail. I didn't need to kill a deer. I got plenty of folks that would like to have one, but at that point I was looking for, as I like to call him, Meester Beeg. If, likening back to Rocky and Bullwinkle, you know, Boris and Natasha. They always answered to Meester Beeg. So I left that site about 9:30 and walked up and found the other stand, and so went to the truck and got a sandwich and came back to the stand and sat till, I don't know, 1 o'clock, 1:30, something like that. I did have a little spike buck come in, and very handsome deer. I'd seen some buck sign in there. I didn't see a lot of big scrapes or big rubs or anything like that, but I figured that was his territory, so he was just cruising through. And left there about 1:30 or so, came home, had some things to do. Saturday morning found me in Dorchester County in one of my favorite stands, and in a shooting house overlooking a feeder for sika deer. And the feeder went off just minutes before legal shooting time, and so the point was to attract the deer there when in the early morning hours, and as is their particular habit, these deer come in a little ahead of time waiting, anticipating the feeder to go off. So we had a couple deer there waiting, and when it was light enough to see, light enough to shoot, there was a nice big fat doe. And apparently she was in estrus because she had a spike with her, a big tall spike. I mean, it was about a, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10-inch spike on that sicka stag. And so he was safe. Excuse me. He was safe because the property manager down there says he only likes branched antler stags to be taken. And one fellow had taken one Wednesday night with the bow, and a nice 6-point. And then there was another one taken, I think, Thursday morning. So, but there was a fair amount of shooting around. State ground surrounds the private property, and the fair amount of shooting on state ground. One fellow sounded like he was trying to limit out, which maybe he did. But I watched those two deer and about 2 dozen wood ducks all morning, and everybody was safe. Went in for lunch and back out in a different stand, different locale. And I had a doe and a fawn, a hind and a fawn come out and feed for a minute, and they went back in and came back out with another big hind. And so they fed for a long time. And then I looked to my left, and crossing one of the shooting lanes was another hind, and she went and joined the three on the feeder. Now the feeder hadn't gone off yet, so there were four deer there. And I want to tell you, it was the most entertaining thing. The little fawn decided that it was going to expend some energy, and it started to run, and it would run all around the big deer, and then back in the woods, and then back out of the woods and bound and hop. And I mean, it just ran all around there for a good 5 minutes, long enough that I could get a minute long video of this thing bouncing around. And it was extremely amusing. So that was fun. Stag never did show up. Heard a few bugles, heard a few shots around, but it was really a quiet evening. Now, what affected the hunt this week on Thursday, especially, was the wind. The wind was brutal. Anybody who's been out there knows that the wind was absolutely brutal in the woods. On the ground, if you're in hardwoods, it's not horrible. On the ground, the deer still move. The deer don't like wind because they can't hear well, so they tend to move a little bit, or they just lock down and just, you know, tough it out in thick cover. Sicka deer don't mind it near as much, I don't think, because it's always windy in the marsh. But they do tend to only show themselves during feeding time and, you know, morning and evening, which is typical. So Alan didn't pull the trigger, but had a good time in the woods. And I think today we'll take the day off and get ready for my departure on Monday for the bear season up in Frederick County. So that was it. That was it. Today we are taking entries for the muzzleloader giveaway contest. And, Robin, you're not saying much.
You're talking enough for everybody.
Yeah, but, I mean, what was your comment on the video that I sent you? All the pictures that I send you during the time I'm in the woods.
Oh, I thought the video was great. In fact, I just asked Chuck if you sent it to him, so I'm going to send it to him.
No, I did not. Morning, Chuck.
And that was great. The picture of the spider you could have kept.
Oh, the spider that was on the side of the stand?
Yeah.
Yeah, my little buddy.
That one you could have kept.
Yeah. He actually crawled on a little stick or leaf or something that was in the stand and jumped over the side. I don't know if he was suicidal or not, but he jumped over the side of the stand.
And the wood ducks are cool.
Oh, yeah, the wood ducks are cool. Yeah, they are insane. When the feeder goes off on that property and there's any kind of water around the stand and the ducks can access it, they just come in there by the, well, like I said, 24. So a lot of pairs, a lot of ducks, a lot of drakes chasing each other. I don't know what that's all about, but it's fun. So anyway, that was my weekend. I hope everybody had a good. Boy, there were some nice deer out there taken. Some nice deer. We got a call last night from John's butcher shop, John Clayton, up there outside of Chestertown. A young man by the name of Jacob Council. Apparently his father is a charter boat captain in that area, Brian. This young man took a deer. It's a 10-point, it looks like. Live weight, over 300 pounds. I think, what did he say, 312?
310.
Something like that, 315. So they brought the whole deer to the butcher shop, and John took care of the evisceration. And the deer dressed weight was 262 pounds. So congratulations to Jacob. That was pretty cool. That was pretty, pretty cool. And then, of course, a couple of other folks text me. Steve Greger, wife, husband of Tina, who is on the Wildlife Advisory Commission. He took a nice 6-point stag yesterday. Michael Legley Sr. also took a beautiful 6-point stag. So, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that were successful during the early muzzleloader season. So, okay. We're going to do that after the break. We'll take that phone call. Right now we need to talk to let's change that up. Let's take a call. Who's on the line, Chris? Mark? Okay. Morning, Mark.
Oh, good morning. How are you there, Mr. Ella?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing very good. I've always listened to your show ever since I moved back to Maryland after spending some time outside of state for 15 years. And I've been back here in my native state for about 18 years. I love it here.
Yeah.
And I've always listened to your show and found it very informative and very entertaining at the same time. And I thank you for that. And I love the stories that you tell. In fact, when I was just starting to listen to you this morning as I woke up, I was asking myself about deer and bears, and you spoke about that, and it led me to my curiosity, and my question was, do deer and bears, do they hang out with each other, or do they stay away from each other? I guess that's the easiest way to ask it.
Well, they definitely occupy the same, same habitat. I mean, they have to. But I don't know that they hang together. You know,
proximity, I guess, would be the right word. I mean, because when you go out there,
sure,
you have to watch out for the danger of bears.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, you do. I mean, a lot of deer hunters have encountered bears. You know, they'll if you focus on white-tailed deer in an oak grove or an oak flat or something like that, that's the prime food for white-tailed deer. It's also the prime food for bears. They love it.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
Yeah, so, you know, you may have a bear come walking through or stop to feed or something like that. I mean, it's a, you know, they both inhabit the same acreage, so.
And deer hunters are encountering more now because they're moving, they're coming down this way, right?
That's amazing. Yeah, that's true.
That's amazing, the dichotomy there that you speak about. It's certainly amazing to me that one species that, for me, seems very passive, and then you have the other species there that is on the more aggressive side, and somehow...
Well, that could be a matter of perception, because I don't... You know, in general, if you leave these animals alone, they're not aggressive at all, as far as the black bears are concerned. You know, they can be aggressive, they can be more aggressive.
When they're hungry, I guess, just when they're hungry.
You know, well, with teeth and claws, if they're defending their territory, or they're defending their young, or they're looking to breed. I mean, I've seen aggressive bear behavior. You know, when during spring bear season in the north, like in Canada, has a number of spring bear seasons, and particular New Brunswick is where I hunted. I've had encounters where the boars have tried to breed sows that weren't ready to breed, and the sows become more aggressive than the boars. Excuse me.
Make a very good point there, and I appreciate it because now it makes me remember I had a teddy bear when I was a little kid.
Yeah, sure. It wasn't that aggressive, right?
No, not at all. I loved it.
There you go. So, but yeah, they cohabit. You know, they cohabitate. I mean, our buddy Chuck sent me pictures the other day of bears and coyotes and deer on his, you know, on the same trail camera in the same area in proximity to his stand, and you know, none of them were being aggressive towards each other. I mean, probably one of the most aggressive critters in the woods is the coyote right now, more so than the bears and the deer.
Well, I love your show, Mr. Ellis, and I love animals, and I love your show, and I'm glad you remain with it.
I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You have a wonderful day. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
You know, this is different. I mean, we haven't talked about what we're doing this morning.
No, we haven't.
But there is no mute button on this thing. So I'm always worried that I'm hitting something or breathing or drinking and usually have my cough button.
Oh, I see. So if you want to turn your microphone off, you're not able to do that.
Mm-mm.
Huh. Well, don't do anything untoward and we'll be fine.
This should be interesting, people.
Yeah, it should be. But Chris is in control of the board, too. He's doing a nice job there. So, let's see.
Okay, I'll send you the bill tomorrow.
Do what?
I'll send you the bill tomorrow.
Oh, thanks, Chris. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, man.
So, no problem.
So we got to talk about our sponsors now. Zinc Clyde's last week, and we're putting some new information in their print ad. But what I was told was the AB300 that I've been talking about is one of the models that's been discontinued as far as the combo gun with the scope and the rifle and so forth. But Clyde's has a number of those still available. Also, the Browning Pump Shotgun, the BPS, has been discontinued. And, you know, there's a number of models available there, the 410, the 20, the 12, and the 10-gauge, 12 and 20-gauge rifle barrel deer hunter models are also available. Those are the two, but there are some great replacements coming from Browning for these. The new long range AB3, a new long range firearm in some of the Magnum calibers and so forth, which is a really nice gun. The X-Bolt, of course, is plenty. The Hell's Canyon is the one that's really taking off, and apparently sales are good for the Hell's Canyon, which is comes in three models: the Speed, which is a lightweight for travel. If you're going to be hunting in the mountains and you want a light caliber for sheep or goats or something like that, then there's the long range, and then there's the McMillan model. So check all those out at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit Number 9. Their phone number there is 410-242-6108. Firearms and licenses and ammunition, gunsmithing and scope mounting, all at Clyde Sports Shop, 410-242-6108. I want to welcome a new sponsor this morning, which is Marshall Auctions. They're located in Salisbury and Easton. Here is something for you hunters, and I want to get this in early in the first hour because I know you're listening and going hunting this morning, but there's an absolute auction coming up on November 9th. It's 286 acres on Stone Boundary Road. It's prime hunting country in Cambridge, Maryland. Excuse me. Gosh, sorry about that. Got a little frog in the throat this morning for some reason. But today is also important. Today, October 19th, there's going to be a preview on the property. So it's from noon to 2, right in the middle of lunch hour. If you guys are down sick of deer hunting and you'd like to think about buying your own sick of deer property or maybe having a club buy a property, 286 acres of nothing but prime hunting country right there on Stone Boundary Road. That's, pretty good sick of deer country. And it's today, 12 to 2. You get more information on the website, marshallauctions.com. Now, if you want, I can send you this information. There's no address or anything like that, but I got an overview of the property and so forth. I'm guessing you could call the office. It's 410-749-8092. I don't know if you'd get a get an answer there or not, but you can certainly try. But this is a fantastic opportunity. This sick of deer farm on Stone Boundary Road in Cambridge. And again, that live auction, absolute auction, is going to be Saturday, November 9th at 1:03 p.m. MarshallAuctions.com. MARSHALL Auctions.com. MarshallAuctions.com. 286 acres of sick of deer hunting property. Today, preview. Check it out. Well, Chesapeake Outdoors stopped by there the other day too, see what was going on, and they're just having a great sale on tree stands, 20% off all tree stands, and they got plenty of them in stock. I'm talking about lock-ons and ladders and even climbers as well. CVA muzzleloaders there, and Thompson Center muzzleloaders. They've got they've taken on a little more presence with Savage Firearms as well too. So there's Remington Chapa and Savage in their firearms department. Now it's, you know, after muzzleloader, we're going back to bow season and the rut's coming up. So if you want to think about a new Matthews compound bow, look at the Vertix. Mission crossbows include the Mission Sub 1XR and then the Raven, which they cannot keep in stock. The Raven R26 and 29. Oh, there's plenty of them there, but I mean, they're, you know, they're having to reorder and reorder and reorder, and because they're so popular. Not inexpensive crossbow, but the Raven is the one that everybody seems to want. So the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is Chesapeake Outdoors. Camouflage for all seasons, Costa sunglasses, Yeti coolers, waterfowl calls, decoys, steel shot gear, and camo. All right there off Route 50 East, exit 39B. That's Dominion Road on Kent Island in Chester, Maryland. Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road, 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best seafood in Harford County and northern Baltimore County. Madonna Seafood Restaurant offers an outstanding menu for lunch or dinner and all-you-can-eat crabs. It's a great place for a family event or business meeting. Madonna Seafood Carryout has steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, great pizza, subs, and a whole lot more. Call in to the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road after a few miles, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. 410-557-CRAB, MadonnaSeafood.com, and Madonna Seafood is open every day at 11. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Radio 680 WCBM.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowards. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowards. They'll never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love.
Hey, old Willie Nelson, how you doing there, buddy? I like that song, Willie, don't you, Robin?
Yep, I sure do.
What? Pay attention.
I was paying attention. I was trying to do multiplication in my head.
Multiplication in your head? How'd that work out?
Evidently not well.
Okay, got it. All right, well, Robin alluded to what we're doing this morning. It was kind of interesting, and I hope it sounds okay this morning in the going out over the air. But we're actually sitting here on our couch in our back room broadcasting the Outdoors and Radio Show. And we've got our little gas fireplace going, and we're sitting here looking at the taxidermy spread around our back room addition, and we've actually acquired the equipment and are able to do this from the house without driving an hour and a half to Baltimore, an hour and a half back in the traffic, back and forth across the bridge. So we'd like to hear from you all. How's it sound going out across the air? And while you call, you can actually get in the muzzleloader contest. So here's how the muzzleloader contest works. You call the radio station, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Chris will take your name and your phone number. Now, next week, we're drawing the first muzzleloader. So, you know, we'll put the tickets in the hat. We'll put everybody's name on a ticker. Everybody gets a number. Let's put it that way. We mix them up randomly. Somebody pulls a ticket, and whoever wins, wins. It's just that's how it works. So we got Chris recording the recording your name and your phone number. And then the other part of that is you've got to go on the air and say hi or I'm in the, just wanted to get in the contest or whatever, or you could ask a question or discuss something that you want to discuss. But that's how you win the muzzleloader, is by calling in and giving us your name and number. And we want to thank the folks from CVA for providing a muzzleloader, probably for 10 or 11 or 12 years now. They've been giving our listeners muzzleloaders one each month, to get, you know, of course, get the promotion for CVA. And I had my CVA in my hands. I have two of them. I have two Acuras. One's a mountain rifle, a little short rifle for up close in a tree stand, very maneuverable. And then the other one, like I had in the stand yesterday, my shot was 97 yards to the feeder. So there's a couple shooting lanes that go out 150, 200 yards, and if the deer appears at the end of that, I have what they call the limited edition Acura with a 30-inch barrel. And I want to thank my buddy Butch for helping us sight that in. Butch over at Baltimore County Game and Fish for helping me sight that muzzleloader in. And I was very confident that if a deer appeared anywhere out to 200 yards, that it would be a doable shot. So that one was in the stand with me yesterday. So that being said, CVA is giving away a muzzleloader each month. End of each month, we give a muzzleloader away. You call 410-922-6680. Chris gets your name and number, and then you go on the air with me. So we talked about the remote part of the broadcast with Robin and I here. So there's some communications back and forth between Chris and I because I don't have your name on a screen in front of me and, you know, that type of thing. I'm a little bit handicapped there, but we're working it all out. So just want to know how we're sounding and hope everything's good out there on the other side of the microphone. Chris, do we have any callers?
Yes, we've got Captain Don.
Captain Don. Hey, Captain Don. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Good morning. Robin, Alan.
Yep.
You sound good down here in Anne Arundel County, 9x9. Everything sounds good.
Perfect.
Good. Glad to hear it.
New experience this morning for Captain Don. After 68 years, I am part of a crew in a tournament, in a fishing tournament.
Yep.
This is my first time part of a crew. So, looking forward to that. Some pretty good guys I'm going with, and they're going to teach me as much as they can. And I'm going to be a willing learner. I'm really looking forward to this.
Wow, that sounds like fun.
But what I wanted to call and talk about for just a minute is I went to a captain's meeting the other night.
Uh-huh.
And I was a fly on the wall just trying to take everything in. Sitting at the bar having a drink, and a lot of these outdoors-looking guys with the beards and the camo and fishing shirts. You know what they were talking about mostly?
Uh-oh.
They were talking about their kids, their children, about taking them hunting, taking them fishing. And what actually really prompted me to call, I just came out of a bakery, and I got a couple things for the crew, and, you know, I got some coffee. And there was a bunch of kids in there with their fathers going fishing. It's 41 degrees. And I'm saying, you know, this is what the country should be doing. That's what families should be doing, going fishing and hunting and getting together as I heard these guys say the other night, put the gosh darn cell phones down. Put the texting down. Look for some fish.
I agree.
I thought I would just share that with you because it really struck me. You know, you'd think these guys would be talking about other things, but they're talking about their kids. And they even got into talking about how they were doing in school, the sports. But they were talking about, you know, well, we're going fishing this weekend, and we've been going fishing during the week whenever we can get away. So,
yep.
I just had to share that with you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, as we were speaking, I got a photo on my text from a buddy named Josh out there in Howard, Carroll County area, and he sent me a picture of his two boys sitting in their ground blind yesterday. It looks like
awesome.
A ground blind or a tree stand. Looks like a ground blind, I think, sitting in yesterday in their orange vests, and you know, no luck yet, but they've got some shooter bucks on the property that they're looking for. So, you know, it is great. You know, it is great. We've got another grandson coming here sooner rather than later.
you know, that's one of the things we push with BBS is trying to get the kids involved and the legacy and passing on, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
The heritage
yeah. of hunting yeah. to the kids and, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
And even with this Pasadena sports fishing group that I go to their meetings, and I'm actually on one of their committees. And, you know, the focus is to get the kids out. You know, there are fishing rods in the libraries that the folks with the kids can go in and check out a fishing rod and check it back in just like a book.
Right.
Oh, that's really neat. I didn't know that.
That's cool.
Yeah, down on Mountain Road here, they have that going. And one of us from the Pasadena group will go in, you know, every few weeks and make sure the rods are up to speed and all the, you know, everything's in place. So that you can just come in, grab it, go fishing, and put it back on the rack. So,
cool.
Yeah, like good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah.
That's really cool. We have to see if they have that over here.
Well, somebody has to do it. Somebody has to start it.
Well, nice talking to you all.
All right, Captain. And by the way, did you know? Did anybody talk about the Young of the Year survey while you were there?
I'm sorry.
Did anyone talk about the Striped Bass Young of the Year survey?
No,
they did not.
I didn't hear about that.
Well, if they're concerned about their kids and fishing in the future, this is the problem that they will talk about it. They'll be concerned about their kids, but they won't go to a meeting. They won't do an online comment. They won't, you know, they won't get involved in the process. They like to get involved in the action, but they won't get involved in the process.
Yeah. So, I guess it comes down to that thing about trying to divvy out your time.
Exactly.
Yeah. And hey, did you happen to go to the meeting in Cambridge? I think it was.
Which one?
On the rockfish.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yep. And the three options were put on the table from the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. The three options were put on the table, and of course. The population of the meeting was overwhelmingly commercial watermen, and you know everybody was pushing for their agenda, and you know the recreational anglers, you know, the bad dude, and we can't keep track of them, and they're the ones that are killing all the fish and that type of thing. So you know, we got to listen to that, and you know, look, there's definitely a well, if you heard the show with Dave Sikorsky. The week or the Saturday after that, I mean, that was covered pretty well extensively in that. So, but the Young of the Year survey just came out, and the striped bass index is 3.4. The 66-year average is 11.6. So the striped bass reproduction this spring dropped off the table.
Hmm.
So the chart, if you look at the chart, it's very interesting. I mean, there's some big year classes in there in the late 90s. And early 2000s, and the last 2 years that we had decent reproduction was 2011 and 2015. But it looks to me kind of like a downward trend. We're almost going into that trough that we had in the late 70s, early 80s, until, you know, we started to see some kind of an increase in the in the reproduction in the early to mid 90s. So it's not bode well for the spawning of the striped bass this year. The I'll let you go, Don. I'll talk about this. Okay.
No, that's okay. I really enjoyed it. I'll listen to you on the radio. I'm heading down the road.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Okay.
See you,
Don.
Bye bye. So the Young of the Year Striped Bass Survey measures the annual spawning success of the state fish commonly known as rockfish. The index represents the average number of recently hatched striped bass captured in samples taken during the survey. During this year's survey, biologists collected more than 51,000 fish of 54 different species, including 445 Young of the Year Striped Bass. While the abundance of some important forage species like the Silverside, Spot, and Menhaden increased in Maryland waters, the survey showed that white perch and yellow perch experienced below average reproduction. Weather, river flows, and availability of food for newly hatched fish are all important factors in the spawning success. So we'll talk more about that. Do we have another caller on the line, Chris? Three. Okay, let's go.
And we've got Sam.
Hey, okay, great. Sam, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Alan. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. What's up?
Robin.
Hello, good morning.
Robin. Well, I just want to get in the contest, basically.
Okay. Cool.
I listen to you every morning. I'm out here in Salisbury and streaming it, and sound fine to me.
All right, good. You going to go take a look at that property up on Stone Boundary Road this afternoon?
No.
I'm just checking.
I'm
with
working
you.
This morning,
unfortunately. So, all right. Well,
I can tell you, my buddy down in Vienna, man, I've never seen this. He killed a sicka deer yesterday, and, man, I've never seen a sicka deer as big as this guy. That deer was almost pulling an eight-pointer, as he put it, but that was a huge, huge sicka deer.
Tell him to send me a picture of it, and we'd like to get it measured up. We are putting a record book out this year for Maryland white-tailed deer and sicka deer and black bears called Maryland's Finest. It'll be out in December sometime. And, okay. You know, we have another enterprise called Bucks, Bears, Stags, bucks-bears-stags.com. And we do have a local store measure down there, Doug Wigfield, in that area. He lives in Mardella Springs. So once okay. Once that achieves the 60-day drying period, Doug would be more than glad to measure that up. It won't make this year's record book, but it'll be in the Maryland records for sure.
Well, I'll tell him about that.
My email is ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. I'd love to see a picture of it. Love to hear the story.
Oh, I actually got it. Maybe I'll try to send it in a little bit.
All right, send me his contact information so we can reach out to him too.
Okay.
All right. Ellis@ellisoutdoors.com.
Oh, I got it already.
Ah, good. Okay. Well, Sam, thanks for the call.
All right, guys. Have a nice day.
Take care, buddy.
Have a great one.
Bye-bye. And who's next?
We have George.
George. Okay. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Alan. How's Robin doing today?
You ask her.
Wonderful.
Good. You guys are sounding good today.
Good. Glad to hear it. Well, this technology is...
call in and say hello, and I hadn't talked to you in a while.
Yep.
And I wanted to let you know that my son killed a stag last weekend.
His good for him.
With a bow. So, yeah, he had a good time. I just got the information that you had about the measuring contest. And,
yep.
Record book.
Yep.
I have one I'm going to enter, and I'm going to ask him to enter his just to
okay, good.
Whether we can make use of that. So
okay.
That's awesome.
Send me a picture of your son's sicka deer. I'd love to run a picture in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly.
I will do that.
Yep.
Do that, sir. So,
and just say on there, you have my permission to run, and then name, age, county, bow, that type of thing. I'm sure it's a nice, happy, smiling face of a kid with his deer.
Yeah, I think he was a little tickled about it. So.
Yes, indeed.
I love seeing
my daughter, I'm proud of her. She got out yesterday, muzzle loader, took that for a walk, and didn't score anything, but had a good sit in the woods.
That's all right, man. It's just fun being out there. I mean, my day's made every time I see a deer close enough that I could take and don't.
Exactly. So. My dad used to say it's good to get the stink blown off,
Good to get the stink blown off. That's right. Yeah.
Exactly.
So we just don't want it to go downwind.
Exactly.
So, all right, buddy. Thanks for the call.
What's going on with the Maryland Sports Business Caucus?
Maryland Hunting Coalition?
Maryland Hunting Coalition, yeah.
Yeah, not sure yet. Not sure yet. I stepped down as director, and, you know, we still have a board of directors, but I'm not sure if anybody's going to step up. If not, probably it will probably go by the boards like a number of other organizations in the past.
That would be a shame. That would be a shame because it's not so much good for hunters in the state of Maryland. So.
I understand, George.
We appreciate your service, sir.
No, we appreciate your support on that, buddy, for sure.
And Robin, thanks for keeping them straight. Appreciate it.
It's not an easy job.
George, do you guys have a lease on Chesapeake Forest Lands?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you guys have a lease on Chesapeake Forest Land?
No, we don't.
Okay.
I lease a private farm, so.
Yeah, I know you love the sick of deer, so.
Yeah, they're fun. They're fun to hunt. So.
Y'all, no question.
Been bit by the bug. So.
Well, take a look at that. Take a look at that 286 acres, buddy.
Okay, I certainly will.
All right, and are you there? Are you down there today?
No, I'm heading up northern Baltimore County, up the Boyd Hall area. We go out here this morning, give it a try.
I got it. Okay.
Okay.
See you, buddy.
Take
Thanks,
care.
George.
Good talking with you all. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
All right, there goes George. Good man. Who's next, Chris?
Okay, we've got Richard.
Okay. Richard, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Alan. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing well. How about you?
Pretty good. Coming in loud and clear up here in Westminster.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it.
It's much it's much more relaxed, not as tired as we usually are.
No.
I guess.
Get to sleep until after 4 o'clock and don't have to make that drive across the bridge and then back across the bridge. So it's pretty convenient to, you know, walk in your back room and sit here with a cup of coffee and watch a fire, you know.
There you go. How's your season going so far, Alan?
Well, I've had a good season. I've seen deer every time I've been out. I've had deer close enough to take every time I've been out. I've actually only been out... two times in Cecil County, two times in Dorchester County, and, you know, I've had deer I could take, but just chose not to. So, you know, it's good when you're in a position where you can get to see something and be entertained while you're in the stand and then make a decision. You know, if your strategy pays off, that's one thing. If not, you know, you go home, you learn something every time you go out. You see something different every time you go out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got out of the stand yesterday, last night. And it was dark. Gun was unloaded. And, I mean, you know, the cap was off. Mm-hmm. I get out of the stand. I get it down out of the stand, and my buddy's in the timbers far behind me. Okay, and I get down and I hear. Whoosh. I'm like, oh, okay, we must be coming out. I'll just wait for him here in the dark. He must have seen me get down, and you know, so I walk down and stand at the bottom of the stand, and I hear. Whoosh. Like somebody's walking, you know. Uh-huh. And then it stopped. And so I get my flashlight and I shine it back the trail, and there's nothing there.
Huh.
But beside me, like 10 yards, splash, 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 splash. Here, a deer had come into the base of my stand in the dark, and I hadn't seen it.
Was it a sick of deer? Was that whistling a sick of deer?
Yeah, it was a sick of deer. Yeah, it sure was. So.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yep. So.
Yeah, I haven't had. I went out yesterday morning for the first time.
Yeah.
Of the season, I've been busy. We're hopefully getting prepared to move here in the spring. I'm the guy that sends you the pictures from Tennessee.
Yeah, I got you. I
sent you the bobcat and bear pictures.
Yep.
I think we might have 7 to 9 different bears on our property down there, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
How fast do these little cubs grow? Because we got a picture of, like, late in the spring of a mama bear and with two little cubs. I mean, just little cuddly puffballs. And here, this last time, we got a picture of a mama bear and two what, to me, looked like adolescent bear. You know, they
probably was. They grow up pretty fast. Mama kicks them out after 2 years. Hmm. She breeds every 2 years. So,
I mean, could those little puffballs in the spring in 100-pound bear, like, a month ago?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So.
And the other question I was going to have for you about bear, does a bear get so big that it can't climb a tree?
Oh, yes. No question. Yes, they do.
Okay. Yep. I was just curious about that because I've, you know, I've yet to see a bear in the woods. I haven't really hunted down there yet.
Right.
Obviously, I'm not living there. But every time I go down, I check all five of my cameras. I spend some time, as much time in the woods as I
yep.
can. You know.
Gotcha.
Did see some fresh bear poop. I mean fresh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well,
that's the first
time. Did you taste it to see how fresh it was?
No, I didn't taste it.
Oh, okay.
But you could see it was wet. Because me and my wife and my daughter were hiking. And I
yeah. On that one, I think I got to let you go, buddy. We've got to go to a break. So I appreciate the call,
okay.
And we'll talk again, okay?
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, man. See ya.
Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, Chesapeake Outdoors has 20% off all tree stands, all climbers, all ladders, and all lock-ons for sure. Don't forget they got crossbows, too. Mission and Raven are the two biggest brands and the two hottest hits right now. They do carry 10-point Excalibur, Carbon Express, and Barnett as well. And the Matthews compound bows, they're the star of the lineup. Shotguns and ammunition by Remington, Chiappa, and Savage Shotguns, all the ammunition to fit. Waterfowl calls, decoy, steel shot gear, and camo. Muzzleloaders by Thompson Center and CVA, and all the accessories. Camouflage apparel for all seasons, and thousands of accessories for bows, muzzleloaders, and firearms. Chesapeake Outdoors is located Route 50 East, exit 39B, on Dominion, right off Dominion Road on Kent Island. That's the exit. Dominion Road 39B. So make sure you stop and see them and say hi and check out the thousands and thousands of items at Chesapeake Outdoors. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers, and that is Chesapeake Outdoors. 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500. Now, I told you earlier about this auction. There is a preview today, October 19th, today from 12 to 2. The auction, the absolute auction, will be held on site, Stone Boundary Road, on Saturday, November 9th at 1:03 p.m. The information can be found at marshallauctions.com, marshallauctions.com, M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L, auctions.com. This is 286 acres plus or minus in Dorchester County, and it can you can get more information on that website. If you'd like me to send you the link, I'll be glad to do that. But it's 286 acres of prime hunting property, a great Sitka deer farm, courtesy of Marshall Auctions. The Salisbury number is 410-749-8092. Now let's talk about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. You know, with the waterfowl season just around the corner, you might want to take a look at a semi-automatic firearm, an auto-loader shotgun, as we say, and that would be the A5. The A5 is a fantastic firearm, and it's got the inertia-operated recoil. Comes in a great camo finish, and it has a 100,000 round or a 5-year guarantee. It's got the humpback receiver. It's ergonomically balanced, and once you put one to your shoulder, you're going to want one. It's the most reliable, fastest cycling, and best balance and softest shooting recoil operated auto loader on the planet. For another go at the shotgun is the Maxis, the auto loader shotgun. It's waterfowl hunting perfection. Shoulder either one of these and you'll want a Browning, that's for sure. 3 and 3.5 inch chambers on the Maxis, and the new power drive gas system reduces recoil. Mossy Oak camo on that one too. All at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, your full line Browning dealer. Firearms, licenses, ammunition, gunsmithing, and scope mounting at Clyde's. 410-242-6108, open 7 days a week, honor all major credit cards. 410-242-6108. And we'll be right back after these messages.
A tropical system will continue to push northeast, and it will ride offshore of North Carolina or Virginia on Sunday. We've got the sunshine to open up the weekend. A few clouds for the afternoon, low to mid-60s, and then we start to get the wet weather in later tonight. Off and on showers will fall back to around 50. Rain ahead for our Sunday, and we'll get up to 63. Back to mostly sunny skies Monday, and then rain returns Tuesday. I'm Jeff Eno from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best seafood in Harford County and northern Baltimore County.
Madonna Seafood Restaurant offers an outstanding menu for lunch or dinner and all-you-can-eat crabs. It's a great place for a family event or business meeting. Madonna Seafood Carryout has steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, great pizza, subs, and a whole lot more. Call in to the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road after a few miles, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. 410-557-CRAB, MadonnaSeafood.com, and Madonna Seafood is open every day at 11.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, we're back. Mike is a caller. Good morning, Mike.
No, you actually have Glenn.
Oh, Glenn, okay. Good morning, Glenn.
Hey, Aaron.
How you doing, buddy?
It says so.
I got it.
No luck on the deer yet. Haven't seen any. But, I haven't had too much chance to go.
Yeah.
They, a friend passed, and so I had to go to the things for that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. You're right. Yep, that's priorities, buddy. That's for sure. Yeah. So.
We'll get ready to go here very shortly.
All right. Well, our regards to the family, and you take care of yourself, okay?
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Glenn.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Glenn.
All right. Who's next? Who's next? Hello?
Yeah. We have got Tony.
Okay. Good morning, Tony.
Morning, Alan.
How are you, buddy?
Enjoy the show, buddy.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Little different getting used to here with not being there in the studio and being able to see Chris, you know, but we're doing good.
Okay, I got you. Listen, I just wonder if you heard anything or read anything about the predictions for the fall flight for this season for the ducks and geese, especially the ducks.
You know, that's a good question, and I haven't. I know that there's lots of wood ducks in Dorchester County. They were banging on them yesterday. But as far as the predictions of the flight, I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and check and maybe able to do that during the break or maybe not. But
well, I appreciate it, buddy, because I always listen. So.
Yeah, well, all right, thanks for the call, Tony.
WCBM, Baltimore.